Why wholesale natural gas prices spiked 20% in Europe today. I'm David Brancaccio. The Russian energy giant Gazprom has completely shut off natural gas supplies to Bulgaria and Poland. This after these NATO countries declined to meet Russia's demand that bills get paid in Russian currency. Bulgaria and Poland get most of their natural gas from Russia, and Russia makes a lot of money from these sales. From Warsaw, the BBC's Adam Easton reports.
Losing Russian gas supplies presents both Poland and Bulgaria with a significant challenge when it comes to meeting customer demand. Perhaps not immediately, but in the coming weeks and months. Sofia buys almost 90% of its gas from Russia. As they search for alternative supplies, one important factor in their favour is that winter is over and demand is falling. And Poland, at least, has been filling its gas stores early this year, so reserves are already more than three-quarters full. The Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki described the move by Russia as a threat and accused Moscow of punishing his country, but said Poland had previously prepared to diversify its gas supplies and were trying to rise to the occasion of what he called this difficult time.
Also, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Russia has tried and failed to sell a very large batch of oil internationally, with tougher sanctions on Russian energy set to officially kick in May the 15th. The Journal has multiple sources on this. The oil company Rosneft isn't commenting. Stocks surged down yesterday. The NASDAQ index, driven by many tech firms, fell nearly 4%. The S&P fell 2.8%. The Dow dropped 809 points, 2.4%. Here's our Nova Safo.
On some level, this is about fundamentals. It's earnings season, and results so far have been mixed. Investors worry that's not enough to overcome economic headwinds, high inflation, rising interest rates, and the specter of recession. Now, big tech so far isn't coming to the rescue. Alphabet reported ad sales declines after the closing bell yesterday. Tesla shares tumbled amid Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter. But there are bright spots. Microsoft forecasts strong revenue growth this quarter from its cloud computing unit.
Microsoft stock is up more than 5% in pre-market trading now, and NASDAQ futures are up 1% this morning. Dow futures up 389 or 1.2%. As we might say in Maine, if you don't like the stock market, wait a minute.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
We'll get numbers on rental vacancies today. It's been super tight finding a place to rent across the country. And as Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports, rents are rising faster than they have in years.
In the few years before the pandemic, rents were generally going up about 3% from one year to the next. But right now,
we're seeing a 15% increase in rents across the nation.
Whitney Ergood-Obricki is at Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies. She says there are some markets right now where rents are up more than 20 or 30% over last year.
The rent increases that we're seeing right now across the nation are really unprecedented. We haven't seen national rent growth like this.
The simple answer for why this is happening?
Wild demand and very limited supply.
Igor Popov is chief economist at Apartment List. He says the main reason there's so much demand right now is there are a lot more households than there were at the beginning of the pandemic.
People that would have searched with roommates are now searching alone. People that would have lived with their parents are moving out.
And he says wages have gone up enough that many people can afford those rising rents, at least for now. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Now, we just heard a clip from the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard there. Now let's talk to its director, Chris Herbert, as we take today's economic pulse. Renting is expensive, but so is buying a house with so much demand. And here's the endemic challenge with so little property that's available to buy. Chris Herbert, welcome.
Good to be with you.
So it's not like supply chain shortages this week or this month is causing this inventory issue. This is really an endemic situation that is contributing to inequality.
It is. You know, it's an issue that's been building for a number of years. We haven't been building nearly enough homes for most of the last decade coming out of the Great Recession. And so we entered the pandemic with a shortage of homes, and it's only gotten worse, as you say, because of supply chain issues and the like.
Yeah, and also the people who were able to keep their jobs during pandemic, some of them were able to save money. So they had a bit of a stash that would help them make a down payment. And so now everyone's trying to buy houses who can, but not everyone can, given the prices.
No, not everyone can. You know, they, as you say, the pandemic was a boon for many, where we were stuck in our basements but still had our jobs. But many people lost their jobs, didn't have the benefit of those other supports. And the other piece of this is that as much as we're watching home prices go through the roof and think that that's a problem, it's not a problem if you're a homeowner and you're getting the windfall of that rapid rise in prices.
Let's address a key paradox right now in this area. Interest rates are designed, the higher interest rates are designed to throw cold water on the exuberance, if not the frenzy, that we've been seeing in parts of the housing market. Okay, but these high rates will also make it harder, more expensive for people to buy a house, especially affecting potential first-time home buyers.
Yes, it's really a difficult time to be a first-time home buyer. Just over the last year, when you factor in that we've seen house prices go up by 20% in many metropolitan areas, and now you add in that the fact that interest rates went from being under 3% to over 5%, the increase in the monthly payment on a typical home has gone up by hundreds of dollars and made it unaffordable for literally millions of renters over that span. So rising interest rates is really going to make it much, much harder for renters on the margin to be able to afford a home.
Taking the economic pulse, this time Chris Herbert, Managing Director of the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard. Thank you very much.
It's great to be with you, David.
And I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.